Alrighty, hey, check this out. There's this small guy, Larry, kind of like you and I, right? Whatever. Anyway, that's right. There's a small guy, and he walks into this diner one day, and he heads straight for the counter, and he has a seat on one of the stools there. And so while he's deciding on what he's going to order, he decides to, you know, have a little fun, you know? And so he leans over to the lady next to him, and she's, you know, a little bit on the large side, and he says, "Hey, lady, hey, do you want to hear a funny blonde joke?" Uh-oh, preacher's going to Mentor. Well, immediately, the big woman gives him this horrible look, and she replies, "Well, I'll tell you what, buddy. Before you tell that joke, you should understand something, mister. I'm a blonde, as you can see. And I'm 6 feet tall, 210 pounds. I'm a professional triathlete and a bodybuilder. Not to mention, the blonde sitting next to me, if you pay attention, is 6 foot two. She's 220 pounds, and she's an ex-professional wrestler. And if you'll notice the waitress over there, she's a blonde too. She's 6 foot five. She's 250 pounds, and she's a professional kickboxer. So you see, buddy, we're three big, bad blondes. Now, funny guy, do you still want to tell that funny blonde joke?" Well, the guy, he blinks and swallows and thinks about it for a second and says, "No way. Not if I'm going to have to explain it three times." Wow, I'm looking nowhere. That's right. Oh, I love that one. Believe it or not, that's right, Ken. There really is a purpose to this joke. I had to think about this one for a while. Okay. And all I got to say is, come on, man, pay attention. I don't want to repeat myself. Okay. But here's the point. That guy had some important, albeit humorous, information to share, right? But what was the problem there? He was not about to repeat himself over and over again, right? Okay? But that's right, folks. Believe it or not, he is not the only one who refuses. They've drawn the line in the sand. He's not the only one who refuses to repeat himself over and over again. Get this? Neither is God. Why? Because the Bible is clear. You are living a lie. If you think the Bible says that God is going to continue to wait and wait and tell you about his salvation again and again and again and again forever. Are you kidding me? The Bible is clear. If you hear his voice today, you need to respond, and you need to respond now. Why? Because you are running the risk of being left behind, and you will be catapulted into the 7-year tribulation that is coming upon this planet. As we've been seeing, the time of tribulation is not a party. It is an outpouring of the wrath of God on a wicked and rebellious planet. He's going to have the last word on evil and suffering. Judgment day is coming. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said it's going to be a worse time on the planet in the history of mankind. And that unless God was loving, unless he was merciful, the entire human race would be destroyed. But as we've been seeing, folks, praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's wise. He's a God of love as well. And once again, out of love, he's given us not just one, but tons of warning signs so that we would know when the tribulation was near and when Christ's second coming was rapidly approaching. Therefore, to make sure that you and I get it right the first time of the dangers of being left behind, we're going to continue in a series called The Final Countdown. Folks, deal with it. I don't know how other way to say it, but deal with it. Here's the phrase for today. Get your head out of the sand. Let's say that. Get your head out of the sand, folks. We are headed for the final countdown. We've already seen the 10th sign was the Jewish people. Number 9 was modern technology. Number 8 was worldwide upheaval. Then we saw number 7, the rise of falsehood. Number 6, the rise of wickedness. Number 5, the rise of apostasy. Then we turned another page. Number 4 was the rise of a one world religion. And then last time, if you were here, we saw it would be the rise of a one world what? Government. And there we saw that God, out of love, because he doesn't have to. Out of love, he told you and I that when you see this birth of a worldwide authority of the Antichrist, which we saw is happening right now through the New World Order and the New World Order surveillance system, that God says you better wake up, folks, and deal with it. You really are that generation. You're living in the last days. It's time to get busy living for Jesus. Amen? But folks, that's still in all. That out of love, I can't belabor that enough. That God has given us, folks, to let us know, to wake us up before it is too late. The second sign on the final countdown is the rise, not just of one world religion, not just a one world government, but a one world what? Economy. This one is so mind-blowing, folks. We know we are already in a global economy, but how many of us realize the prophetic significance of it? We are already linked together. This one's already come to pass. And the first end time prophecy concerning a one world economy is the Bible says there's going to be a worldwide, not just authority, not just worship, but a worldwide, yes, folks, economy of the Antichrist. But don't take my word for it. Let's go back to the classic passage, Revelation 13. Revelation 13. If you find Philemon, what do you do? besides the potluck and high five. That's right, you're lost. Start over again. Just close the book, open it up again. Go towards the back. That's all I got to say. But Revelation 13, that's right. Revelation 13, we're going to read verses 11 through 17 there. For those of you who got the dictionary, you're getting close. Take a left. And Revelation 13, is there really going to be a worldwide economy? And is it really going to be satanically inspired? Hey, let's take a look at the Word of God. Revelation 13, verses 11 through 17. It's going to talk about the false prophet who's going to dupe the whole world into worshiping the beast or the Antichrist. And he's going to force them to do a couple things. And we'll take a look at the second one, folks. It's really coming down the pike. Revelation 13, verse 11 through 17 says this. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the who? The inhabitants of the earth. And he ordered them one thing, to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be what? Killed. And we saw last week that's with your head getting chopped off. Revelation 20. Verse 16. He also, here's step two. He forced how many? How many? Everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, it doesn't matter what category of society you're from, to receive a mark on his where? Right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could what? Buy or sell. Say that. Buy or sell. Unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Folks, according to the Bible, it's really clear there really is coming a day when all, not just a small section, when all the inhabitants of the earth is going to be under the economy or monetary system of the Antichrist. One guy, the Antichrist, is literally going to control all the buying and the selling on the planet. One day, the Bible predicted 2,000 years ago, roughly, that this world, the whole world, is going to be united into a one world economy that is actually satanically inspired. You get it? It's not just that we're united in a one-world economy, it is satanically inspired. But the question is always this, come on man, could that really happen? Could the whole, I can see a section, but could the whole world, because that's the context it says there, could the whole world really be deceived into forming a one-world economy? Is there any evidence that's taking place like the Bible said 2,000 years ago right now? Slightly. And we'll take a look at two of the chunks there. And the first way we know that we are already headed, we're already in, folks, a one world economy is due to a universal banking system. A universal banking system, i.e. the global bank. Stop and think about it, folks. It's pretty logical. If you are going to deceive the whole world and to create a one world economy, you've got to provide, stop and think about it, some sort of a universal bank so that you can dictate universal monetary control, right? Right? That's an obvious step. Well, guess what? That's already what's happened. Not just happening, it's happened. Right now, there's already in place the absolute total economic control of the whole world. It's already done. It's already been laid out. How do I know? Because right now, folks, they're already... It must have been a guy thing. How long did it take you to come up with this name? There already is a universal bank. It's called the World Bank. That's a guy thing, Bill. You know what I'm saying? It's the World Bank. Check it out for yourself. And it's already the world's leading lender of money to nations around the whole globe. But wait a second. Stop and think about it. If you're going to have a universal bank, you've got to have some sort of universal lending institution that oversees the dispersion of all these loans around the world, right? Well, folks, wake up. Why do you think there's a place right now called the International Monetary Fund? It oversees the world's finances, and they're the ones who even fix the exchange rates for the whole world. But wait a second. If you're going to have a universal lending institution, you've got to have some sort of universal money exchanger to funnel all this money to the different countries, right? Well, folks, right now, there's already a universal electronic banking system called SWIFT. And it automatically makes sure that all the different money transactions over the whole world automatically match the different currencies. But wait a second. If you're going to have a universal money exchanger, you've got to have some sort of universal strong arm to punish those people who don't obey this banking system, right? Well, folks, why do you think that right now there is the World Trade Organization? You have any idea what that organization does? Listen to this, folks. Right now it not only sets the trading rules for the whole world, but they punish all countries who do not obey their rules with billion-dollar fines. Yes, even America. We answer to them. Therefore, folks, correct me if I'm wrong, but me and Dan might be on the same page. Must be the, we match the shirts. Praise God for the email. You know, it's awesome. We're guys. We're into it, buddy. But I would say, folks, it's pretty obvious when you put the facts together. Somebody's just a little bit serious. In fact, they've already formed a one world economy, right? But once again, folks, if you're like anybody else, you're probably saying, okay, Pastor Billy, here you go again. You're freaking me out. We really are going to pray for the deacons this week because apparently they keep throwing that chicken on your front porch. You're freaking out. You get the fumes all over you. I'm telling you what, this is just too far out. This is just a big coincidence. You know what I'm saying? There's no way the world leaders can really be serious about forming a literal one world economy. Here's your phrase. People, wake up and get your head out of the sand. It's not only going to happen, it's already happening. In fact, it's been in the planning stages for a long time. Little do people realize, folks, that these same economic powers have already divided the world up into 10 economic regions or kingdoms. Back as early as the early 70s, in order to ensure proper control. Let's take a look at their actual map that they've produced. It's by an economic group called the Club of Rome. Pay attention to that. The Club of Rome. They put this out in the 70s. They divided the world up into 10 different economic kingdoms, as you can see. And then you got the North American community there, and then Europe, and then 3, then 4, and then 5 up there with Russia, and 6 with South America, 7 and 8 with Africa, 9 with India, and then, of course, China gets to be by itself as 10. Okay, and here's my point. You go, okay, hey, Pastor Billy, that was cool, man. You had special effects on that one. Arrows were going all over the place. It's really colorful, too. I love that map. Here's the point, folks. Most people have no idea the significance of what I just showed you because nobody's reading their Bible. Here's the significance of that map with the world being divided by an economic club from Rome, of all places. Why? Because get this, folks, most people have not read the scripture that says in the last days you're going to see the coming of a revived Roman Empire and a ten-horned kingdom that would appear on the scene when? When you are in the last days. Let's take a look at that text. Read it with your own eyes. Revelation 17, verse 9 and 12 and 13 says this. Now understand this, John says. He said his ten horns, and that represents power in the scripture, or authority. His ten horns are ten kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast or the Antichrist. They will all agree to give their power and authority over to him. It's going to be chunked up into 10 parts, and then they're going to give it all to the Antichrist. 2,000 years ago, he said that. Hey, wait a second. You mean to tell me there's going to come a day when the worldwide kingdom of the Antichrist is split up not into 5 chunks, not 3, not 50, but split up into 10 kingdoms? Could that really happen? Folks, you and I may have already just looked at the actual map itself. Get it? But you're probably still like, come on, Pastor Bill, you're just really starting to freak me out again. Okay, so what? So what? So the Antichrist is going to split this world up into 10 different economic kingdoms or regions and give them over to the Antichrist. Come on, man. But this isn't, we still got time. This isn't going to happen anytime soon. People, wake up and get your head out of the sand. Why do you think we've seen the birth in our lifetime, the European Union? What in the world do you think that is? Is that not a region of countries coming together economically with their own currency called the euro? And why is there right now, I dare you to check this out, right now there's called the African Union, which is a region of 50-some countries in Africa that have come together economically with their own currency called the Golden Mandela, and they're planning on putting that in effect 2010. And speaking of 2010, why do you think right now there's the formation of the North American Union, which is made up of the United States, Canada, and Mexico, coming together economically with their own new currency called the Amero? Don't believe me? If you know what to look for in the news, it's already happening. Watch this.
Steve, we also just heard from Paul Chirka that he does expect the dollar to continue to weaken into Christmas from against the euro. Do you think that momentum will impact any other asset classes?
Well, I'll tell you, take a look at the precious metals. They've taken off to the upside on the back of this dollar drop. We're coming into a cyclical bottom for gold, and it rises going into December, January, so that might be the reverse of the dollar fall. Apart from that, I think one thing people who are dollar-based need to focus on is the Amero. That's the one thing that nobody's talking about that I think is going to have a big impact on everybody's life in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. If you Google it, you'll find out all about it.
Well, you could tell us a little bit more right now.
You always hear it on CNBC, don't you? The Amero is the proposed new currency for the North American community, which is being developed right now between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to make a borderless community, much like the EU. And the dollar, Canadian dollar, U.S. dollar, and the Mexican peso replaced by the Amero.
You really think that will get any leeway?
You may want to visit a couple of websites and see how far along it is. The Canadians are pretty upset about it, whereas the Americans, apart from the Texans, are the only people who know anything about it. The rest of the public's really sort of with their head in the sand on this one.
Ooh, where have I heard that? Head in the sand. Folks, maybe it's just me. But I say somebody's a little bit serious and they got some definite plans about building this North American Union, right? But people that still don't know, why do you think there are plans right now for a South American Union, an Asian Union, a Central Asian Union, a Pacific Union, and even a Mediterranean Union? I mean, gee whiz, what is going on right now? If I didn't know better, I would say the world really is being split up into different economic kingdoms right now before our very eyes. I mean, gee whiz, how many are they going to end up with? Maybe 10? Exactly. Just like the Bible said would happen when you are living in the last days. Time to get motivated, folks. The second way we know we are headed for a one world economy is due to a universal currency. I'm talking about the coming, it's coming faster than you think, folks, they're already predicting dates, of a cashless society. The coming cashless society. You see, stop and think about it. Here is phase two if you're going to pull off this one world economy. You don't just need some sort of universal banking institution. You've got to have some sort of universal currency so you can dictate universal monetary control, right? Well, folks, once again, wake up, get your head out of the sand. What do you think's happening right now? In case you haven't noticed, folks, they have slowly and surely moved us towards a completely cashless society. For instance, in the last century alone, pay attention, folks, we've gone from paper currency to electronic cash. Here's been the process. If you didn't have money on you, hey, don't worry, just write a check. If you don't want to have the money to write a check, don't worry, just charge it to your credit card. Or wait a second, if you don't want to pay the interest on your credit card, don't worry, just take it out of your checking account via your debit card. And now they've got all these features, very convenient, combined into one card. It's called the smart card. And if you're not realizing, folks, a smart card is the size of a credit card. It's got a tiny microchip in it that can store and receive information. And because of this feature, folks, they can use that card for all kinds of things all at the same time. Let's take a look at some of the incredible, wonderful conveniences you can do with just this one card, folks. And some of you here, I guarantee you already got one. You can use it as a personal ATM card. But it can also work as purchases at stores, restaurants, vending machines, gas, toll roads. It's universal. And you can use it to make telephone calls. All in this one card. You can use it to access cable and satellite programs. You can use it to make internet purchases. That's really convenient. You can even use the exact same card for all that and vehicle and building access at the same time. You can use it for personal computer access. It replaces all your passwords. You can put them all on this one card. And you can use it for loyalty programs, for airlines, for grocery stores. Any of those bonus programs can all be combined with all that other stuff on this same card as well. You could use it for rapid check-in at hotels and airlines, etc. And they do talk about so convenient. All we need is just one card now, because you can now hold on this, on top of all that, your personal identification, your social security number, your driver's license, student ID, health and insurance ID, voting information, picture, and all your biometric information all on one card. Woohoo! Yes, I'm being sarcastic, but I am enthusiastic. Here's the point, folks. You call it weird all you want. And you might be out, hey, this is never going to catch on. No way, that's a little bit too creepy there, but folks, 4 billion of these cards were issued just in the year 2000. In fact, right now in Europe, smart cards are not only commonplace, but they're going to become soon an absolute necessity. Get this, England right now is expecting to have all their governmental services online, and they're going to issue their citizens, all of them, these kind of cards, and unless you have this card, you cannot access their system. Right now, folks, that's just the tip of the iceberg. In light of the terrorist attacks, the Pentagon here in the U.S. has issued smart cards mandatory for 4 million of its troops and civilians. Get this. And if you have this card, unless you got this card, you won't be able to do this. You won't be able to open secure doors. You won't be able to check out weapons. And you won't get this. You will not be able to get cash or buy food without this card. Oh, but that's not, banks are not to be left out on this, man. They're jumping on the bandwagon big time. Right now, MasterCard is planning on turning their 600 million debit cards into these smart cards. And speaking of MasterCard, they recently purchased 51% of a company that gives them control. 51% of a company called Mondex. And Mondex just happens to be the only electronic cash system in the world that allows for multiple currencies all on one card. In fact, most people are calling these, get this, these smart cards the new, quote, digital cash. And they're expecting it to become the world's first universal currency. Why? Because get this, folks, Mondex was so excited about this backing from MasterCard because they got the cash to pull it off. They said, this is a direct quote, they said, this is the final stage. The final stage in becoming a global reality. With MasterCard's backing, there is nothing to stop Mondex from becoming the global standard. And then, folks, if that wasn't weird enough, you got the president of Visa getting in on the action. He's hinted at taking these tiny microchips and don't just put them in the cars. No, no, no. They're actually wanting to put them in. They've already done it, too. They're putting it into watches. Okay, maybe even your ring. Okay, now they're moving in towards the hand. I mean, gee whiz, what's the next thing? Some sort of smart card tattoo or smart card body implant? Exactly. That's the exact plan, folks. You see, there's only one fatal flaw. We all know who carries cards. Bingo, you can lose it. So, hey, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if you could take all this convenient smart card technology that controls literally everything you buy and sell? And get you into the system. And then what you do is you don't have it on the outside of you where you can lose it. But now you get it on the inside of you. Why? To do that, it'd make buying and selling as simple as waving your hand. You don't think that's where we're headed? Folks, if you know what to look for, they've already started the propaganda. This is the reality they're building for you and I. Let's take a look.
Forgot your receipt.
Check out lines. Who needs them?
Have a nice day.
This is the future of e-business.
Hey, I think it probably cost a few million bucks to pull off that commercial. No, Pastor, you're starting to freak me out here in this one. There's no way they're starting to propaganda to get us to have these things inside of us, and literally that's going to control all the buying and selling. There's no way. Here's my point. Maybe it's just that those fringe people, you know what I'm saying? Okay, but nobody's going to volunteer. Okay, it's one thing to be a commercial, but nobody's going to volunteer to get an implant specifically to buy and sell. That's just way too crazy. Well, speaking of propaganda, they're brilliant. It ain't just crazy. Folks, it's become the latest craze. You want to be cool? You get an implant today and be part of the in crowd. It's already taking place. Watch this one.
At the Baja Beach Club in Rotterdam, Holland. This may look like a regular party, but it's no normal club. The Baja has an elite group of special VIPs who are different from other clients. They need no identification and no cash to buy drinks or food. To enter the club, all they have to do is offer up an arm to a scanner. And tonight, 21-year-old Ryoni Shuten will be joining the in crowd. He's getting an electronic chip implanted in his arm. It's called radio frequency identification. An RFID chip is a small device that transmits a radio signal that's read by a scanner. In 2003, the Attorney General of Mexico and some of his staff received RFID implants inside their bodies to allow them access to sensitive areas. Each tiny chip has a number. A scanner connected to a database can instantly reveal who the person is and much more. Technically, there's no limit to the information the database can hold.
This is the needle with which I'm going to implant the chip.
The chip itself is little larger than a grain of rice. It will remain inside Ryoni's body for the rest of his life. The chip is implanted just millimeters below the skin. If it goes in too close to the muscle could be damaged, and Ryoni will feel the chip when he moves. If all goes well, he won't even know it's there. The procedure is over in seconds. And now, it's time to party. Although others have to pay cash at the entrance, when Ryoni arrives, his name and number instantly identify him as a VIP member of the club. He makes his way to the VIP deck and uses his implant to buy a drink. Baja is a glimpse of a not-so-distant future. Already, some people have chips with critical health information. Some think that soon everyone will have a chip that will identify them and allow a new form of surveillance.
Hey, folks, why is it? The History Channel will get it. And admit it! But the American church seems to still have its head in the sand. We're not going to wake up. I wish I was making this stuff up. It's coming, people. Closer than you think. And you might be saying, okay, fine, Pastor Billy. Maybe that's just those weird fringe people. Okay, but there's one last thing. There's no way that somebody's got global plans. This is going to be some phase like... How many guys said, praise God, disco went and came? You know what I'm saying? I know you're out there. That's what this is, Pastor. I know there's no way. This is just going to be some wacky economic craze for, you know, that crowd, you know, and it's just going to phase out. Folks, get your head out of the sand. There's global plans for this, and it's coming faster than you think. But don't take my word for it. One last time, folks, one more to go. Let's listen to the actual interview where they admit it of what they're going to do. Let's take a look.
This is Aaron Russo, a filmmaker and former politician. To his left is Nicholas Rockefeller of the infamous Rockefeller banking and business dynasty. After maintaining a close friendship with Nicholas Rockefeller, Aaron eventually ended the relationship, appalled by what he had learned about the Rockefellers and their ambitions.
I got a call one day from an attorney woman I knew, and she said, would you like to meet one of the Rockefellers? I said, sure, I'd love to. And we became friends, and he began to divulge a lot of things to me. So he said to me one night, he said that there's going to be an event there. And out of that event, you're going to see we're going to go into Afghanistan so we can run pipelines from the Caspian Sea. We're going to go into Iraq to take the oil and establish a base in the Middle East. And we're going to go into Venezuela and try and get rid of Chavez. And the first two they've accomplished, Chavez they didn't accomplish. And I said, you're going to see guys going into caves looking for looking for people that they're never going to find. You know, he was laughing about the fact that you have this war on terror. There's no real enemy. He's talking about how by having this war on terror, you can never win it. Because it's an eternal war. And so you can always keep taking people's liberties away. And I said, how are you going to convince people that this war is real? He said, but the media. The media can convince everybody it's real. I mean... You know, it's just that you keep talking about things, you keep saying it over and over and over again, and eventually people believe it. You know, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11, which is another lie. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie, and now they're going to do Iran. You know, and it's all one thing leading to another, leading to another, leading to another. Now, I would say to him, what are you doing this for? What's the point of this thing? You have all the money in the world you ever want. You have all the power. I said, you know, you're hurting people. It's not a good thing. And he would say, what do you care about the people for? take care of yourself and take care of your family. And then I said to him, what are the ultimate goals here? He said, the ultimate goal is to get everybody in this world chipped with a chip, with an RFID chip, and have all money be on those chips and everything on those chips. And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off the chip.
Hey, I say it's time we get motivated. Maybe it's just me and Steve. But it sounds like to me, somebody is deadly serious about forming this one world economy. Literally, one person could have the technology, the power, and the ability to control. You talk about specifics in the Bible. Literally, what everybody on the planet can buy or sell. In fact, folks, it might be closer than you think. Let's back up a little bit. Remember Mondex? Mondex, that was the possible first global standard with the backing by MasterCard. Mondex stands for, and I dare you to check this out this afternoon when you go home. Look it up in the dictionary. Mondex stands for Monetary Dexter. And if you look those words up in the dictionary, you will see that monetary means pertaining to money. Dexter means right hand. Wait a second. Money in the right hand? Where have I heard that before? People of God, if you're here today and you're a Christian, it is high time we start living for Jesus Christ. There is not a lot of time left. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I beg you, I plead with you, please, wake up. There's not a lot of time for you either. Why? Because the Bible is clear. You are fooling yourself if you think God is going to keep repeating His message of love to you again and again and again. The offer is not going to be there forever. In fact, the Bible says this, a day is coming when He's going to cut you off. I didn't say that, God did. Hebrews 3, verse 7 and 8 and 10 through 11 says, this is what the Holy Spirit says. Today, people, you must listen to His voice. Don't harden your hearts against Him as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested God's patience in the wilderness. There, your ancestors, God said, tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for how long? For 40 years, God gave them evidence. And He said, so I was angry with them and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So what? Yes, God said this, folks. In my anger, I made a vow. They will never enter my place of rest. You are living a lie. You think you got all the time in the world. Christian, to live for Jesus, you don't. This is our one shot to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from hell. We'll never get it back. And if you're here today, and you're not a Christian, I beg you, don't harden your heart. Respond to the love of God and get saved before it's too late. Let's pray.
Well, hi, this is Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and hope you enjoyed today's sermon. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Well, before you answer that, let me share one final thing with you. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. The Bible says that all of us, including myself, have fallen short of the glory of God and that the wages of our sin is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. And since we have a problem, we don't want to admit this, God, out of love, sent us something called the Ten Commandments, His law, to show us that there's no way in the world that we could ever make it to heaven on our own. Let's take a look at a couple of them. The Bible says that you shall not lie, ever, not once in your life. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Well, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just proved my point. That would make you and I a liar before God. The Bible says you shall not steal. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've taken something, even once, in our lives without permission. That makes us a thief. The Bible says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And now the Lord's name has become a cuss word. We've broken that. The Bible says that makes us a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. If you think you're going to get to heaven on your own, you shall never do that. But hey, you might think, well, that's a piece of cake. I've never done that one. Really? Jesus said if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery in your heart. One more. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might say, hey, no problem that one. I've never done that. Really? Jesus said, If you hate somebody in your heart, it's the same as murder in his eyes. Folks, that's just 5 out of 10 commandments. How are you doing? You're going to tell me that you're going to stand before God and you really think he's going to let you into heaven and he's going to ask you, hey, who are you? And you say, hey, God, let me in. By your own admission, I'm a lying, thief, blasphemer, adulterer, murderer. Let me in. Folks, God's not going to let you in. We don't deserve to go to heaven, folks. We have broken God's law. We deserve to die and go straight to hell. Here's the good news. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So He's pardoned you for your crimes. He wants to get you off of death row. And just like in real life, a person can get off of death row if they receive the governor's pardon. But just like in real life, a governor could write the pardon, even though the person is guilty of their crime. He could write the pardon and say, you don't have to go to the death penalty. But if they don't receive that pardon from the governor, they will still go to the death penalty. Folks, that's what God has done every day to everyone all over the world. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in our place. And every day that a person's alive, God is reaching out to them, asking them, pleading with them, please receive my pardon for your crimes. Please don't go through with the death penalty. Hey, if you're here today and you want to make sure that you're going to heaven, you need to receive God's pardon for your crimes through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, then maybe you could pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I've broken your law. I am a sinner. I agree that you are holy and that I am not. And I'll never make it to heaven on my own. Please forgive me, Jesus, of all my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross and rose again from the grave to pay the price for all my sins. I turn from my sins today and I turn to you. I trust in you, Jesus, and in you alone to take me to heaven. Make me into the person you want me to be. I surrender this life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you really prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I want to be the first one to congratulate you. Welcome to God's forever family. But that's just the beginning. When a person first gets saved, which is just what happened to you, the Bible likens you as a baby. And a baby needs food, they need nutrients, they need somebody to care. And that's why something important you need to do now is to find a good, healthy church in your area who can help provide that nourishment for you. Unfortunately, not all churches are very good churches, so if you have some questions, then please contact us and we'd be glad to help you out. You need to get a Bible. You need to read the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find out about God and His wonderful plan and the reason and what He has planned and saved you for. You need to find it out in there as well. You need to pray to God. He's with you now wherever you go as His child. And prayer is not something mystical or magical. It's just simply having a conversation with God wherever you go. And finally, you need to tell somebody else about your new relationship with God and how that they can know for sure today how they can go to heaven instead of hell through God's pardon through Jesus Christ. Well, this has been Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If there's anything we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information, our contact information will be coming up on the screen here shortly, and we'd love to hear from you. Remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Thank you for watching this presentation from Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If you'd like to send us a letter or any other kind of postage, you can reach us at 5287 Bronson Drive, Lewiston, New York, 14092, or you can give us a call at 716-297-8783, or for email, office@niagarafrontierbible.com, or you can visit our website at www.niagarafrontierbible.com.